Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we are lost without you. And we are desperate for you. Make your presence known, Lord God. Father, take the words that's coming out of my mouth, Lord God. Hallelujah. And let them reach the hearts and the ears of your people, Lord God, in a form and a fashion that'll make a difference. We decree and declare, Lord God, that every day and every way we're getting closer and closer to you. Help us. Help us. Help us. Now, Lord, let your presence spread throughout this building in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you. Hallelujah. Wave at somebody as you sit down this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, music team. Hallelujah. This morning, we want to talk from a topic of it's never too late. It's never too late. I remember as a kid, I don't know, maybe 14, 15 years of age, whatever, living with my grandmother and running a little greasy spoon restaurant that didn't make any money. I remember she went home early one evening and she said, Dan, you just close up the place. And then I did. I closed it up and put the little money in the bag. Wasn't that much money, maybe $50, $60. Seemed like a lot to me. And I closed it up, I don't know what time, maybe about 7, 8 o'clock at night, something like that. And my role was to just come on home with the little money bag. But how many of you know I didn't do that? Because I was smart. I went to the local liquor store, and I didn't buy liquor, but I got on the pinball machine. Those kind of pinball machines, you can win money. You get so many points, you can turn the money in, and I was going to make us rich. And about midnight or so, maybe about 1 o'clock in the morning, all the little money in the bag was gone. It was gone. Grandma went home worried to death about this little teenage boy that's supposed to be coming straight home with the little money in the bag. I walked home, and I walked home slowly because, I don't know, you don't run home when you're not happy. But I did get home, and, you know, as I was walking home, one of the things that I was saying to myself, I'm saying, well, if I could just start all over again, if I just had that bag of money again, I wouldn't do what I did with it. I wouldn't waste it. I wouldn't rob my grandmother of her last little pennies that she's got here. But the reality hit me. With the fact that it was too late for that. The money was gone. You weren't going to make any new money. The bag was empty. Sometimes we go through life and we make mistakes and we realize later on that there were mistakes. And sometimes we just can't fix it because it's just too late. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You really know what I'm talking about? It's just too late. You wish you hadn't done it. Come on. You wish you hadn't done it, but it was too late. Over in the island of Guam, and just drinking and having a good time with my buddy who had been gone for a little while and his wife. And I just said something stupid. It was stupid. It was just something stupid. And it made the man mad. Good for a buddy of mine. He took his family and he left. And he said, I don't want you and your family in my house ever again. And he told his wife and the children, I don't want you, any of you, over at Smitty's house again. Stupid stuff, stupid. Don't you know I wish I had not said that? Don't you know that? Don't you know that I wish at that time that I could do this all over again? But it was too late. It was too late. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It's just too late. Did I learn a lesson? Yes, I learned a lesson, but it was too late to save that friendship. We have to watch what we're doing. We've been talking about how to find God's will, and some of you feel like maybe it's just too late for me. I've done a lot of crazy stuff, and even though I got saved, I just did this, or I did that, or whatever. The whole heart of today's message is the fact that it's not too late. Look at somebody and tell them that. It's not too late. it's never too late for God. It's never too late for God's will to be accomplished in your life. Hallelujah. Long as you're breathing, let me just qualify that. As long as you're breathing, it's never too late. I want to open this up with a question that I just asked a minute ago. Have you ever wanted to do something, but you let the distractions of life cause you to put it off, and now it's too late? You ever want to do that? It's just too late. I can think of a lot of things that I wanted to do as a younger man, you know, but I just say, well, maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow never came. And now it's just too late for whatever reasons. You see, many things in life, it may be, for many things, it may be just too late. Hallelujah. But for others, no. For other things, it might not be too late. And to accomplish the will of God and the plan of God is one of those things that I just simply want to encourage you on. It's not too late. It's just not too, it's not too late. Not at all. If you want it to be, let's just say, maybe you want it to be a professional athlete. I can see all these great athletes right in front of me right here. But now you're 50 years old and you haven't been keeping your mind and your body in condition for sports, then it's probably too late. Amen? It's probably too late for that. You leave it go. And let it go on. Maybe you were in love earlier. Maybe you were in love with Billy Bob. Everybody know Billy Bob, right? Or maybe you were in love with Susie Stringbeans. Everybody know her, know her whole family. Maybe you were in the fifth grade when you were in love with these people, but now you both are 80 years old and you're married to somebody else. Then the chances are it's too late. It's too late. Let Billy Bob go. Let Susie Stringbean go. It's too late. It's just too late for that. Hallelujah. If you always wanted to get a college degree, however, I don't care how old you are, it's not too late. You can be 90 and get a college degree if that's what you really wanted to do. Maybe you wanted to enter a 3-mile race. I don't care how old you are on that. It's really not too late. You can enter. Don't mean you're going to finish the race. Hello? Don't mean you're going to finish it fast. But you can enter the race. It's not too late. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. Today, I want to share with you that when it comes to finding the will of God for your life, it is never too late. That's good news, folks. That's good news. You say, well, I haven't done anything all up to this point. And my answer to that is, so what? So what? My message keep going back to Moses, you know. And these are not in my notes, but just think about the reality of that. God saved Moses' life as a babe, you know, from being killed by the Egyptians. Put him in the house of Egyptian daughter, the Pharaoh's daughter. She raised him up and kept him in her house for 40 years. And you know the story, he had to leave. He had to run away because he had done something he wasn't supposed to do. And God set him aside for how long? 40 years. Everybody say 40 years. 40 years. See, because sometimes I believe we say number, but we don't really understand that. God put him aside, taking care of sheep for 40 years. A man growing up in Pharaoh's house with the best of everything, including the best of education, the best of training, militarily and otherwise. But then after 40 years, at the age of 80 years old, remember I told you last week? God said it's showtime, Moses. 80 years old. 80 years old. And God never gives you an easy assignment. See, that's what we're running from. We don't want the hard assignments. We always got a lot of excuses. Well, God, I'm not equipped. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. I haven't done this. I'm not equipped. Think about the assignment that God gave Moses at 80 years of age. He said, Mose, I want you to go back to Egypt. And I want you to confront that Pharaoh that you've been running from these last 40 years. And I want you to tell him to let over 2 million of his slaves go free. Hallelujah. Now, God was going to send him by himself, but he was scared. Everybody say he was scared. See, you ever been scared? God's got a plan for you, but you're scared. You just can't handle that thing. And so because he was scared, he said, all right, I'll send your brother with you. So now he sends two people. His brother was older than Moses. He sends two people to confront a ruthless Pharaoh and command that his, hold on with the paper. He can command that his money just go out the window. These were slaves working for free, over 2 million of them. How you gonna get that done? Suppose it was you God gave that assignment to. What would you do? I don't know. And my whole point for talking about Moses is to let you know that it's never too late. Because God's going to really, whatever God's called you to do, he's going to really be the one behind you doing the work. So I want to share with you once again the fact that when it comes to finding God's will for your life, you say, God, I just haven't even been a good Christian. And I can hear the angel saying, so what? Are you ready for showtime? I can hear people say, God, I've backslid 25,000 times. And the angels has the same reply. So what? You're dealing with God. It's never too late. You see, the devil would have you believe that you've gotten too far off course to get back on. Hallelujah. You think every Christian is living a holy life? Let me just back up. Everybody confessing to be a Christian is living a holy life? I know better than that. I know better than that. But we don't judge. It's never, never too late. Hallelujah. The devil will have you believe that you got off the course of God too long ago to get back on. And I tell you that that's a lie. It's never too late. It's never too late. Not at all. Hallelujah. The devil will have you believe that you've hurt God once too many times for him to continue with his plans for you. And I tell you, that's a lie. It's a lie. When it comes to your plan that God has for your life, it's never too late. You're not waiting on God, just like he told me. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to get sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. Somebody say amen to that. Hallelujah. 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 God wants you to know that it's never too late to find his will for you. The question is not if you can still find God's will for your life. The question is how you get back into his will for your life. That's the only question we have to answer. What do I have to do? And I want to present to you, listen, this easy thing. Don't you think for a moment, because you're sitting in a building of people that's hearing a gospel message this morning, that everybody is living for God. Don't think that for a moment, amen? But believe that no matter what they're doing, hallelujah, it's never too late to surrender to God. All you got to do is come to your senses. Hello? All you have to do is come to your senses. It's like having a woman that's being beat, you know, by her boyfriend or maybe even her husband being beat, you know, every week being beat, blood coming out of everywhere. And then the question that comes to your mind is, why are you hanging in there? Well, she's going to stay in there. It could be a man. It don't have to be the wife being beat. Most of the time it is. Well, the question is, she's going to keep being beat, stay in that situation until she comes to her senses. Why would a person live their life here on planet Earth as a human being, knowing that at the end of their lives, number one, knowing that their lives are not very long at all, And then knowing that at the end of their life, that they're gonna either wind up in heaven or hell. Why would a person stay on the track to hell, come on now, knowing that when they take their last breath, they're going to bust hell wide open and not have another chance? Why? Because they have to come to their senses. See, when you come to your senses, you give your life to the Lord. You give your life to the Lord. Don't you think for a moment that just attending somebody's local church makes you qualify for heaven? Jesus told Nicodemus, what did he tell Nicodemus? You must be born again. And when you're born again, you're going to know it. Because the Bible says if a man is in Christ, he's a what? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. That's right. That's right. That's right. They're going to pass away. And it says everything becomes new. Nothing happens till we come to our senses. Absolutely nothing. Today I want to share with you two Bible stories of two men who both got out of the will of God, but only one of them got back into the will of God. This thing is no joke. It's no game. I don't care how often you pretend to be good. If you're not born again, and maybe that's the only message I got till I die. If you're not born again, when you stop breathing, you're going straight to hell. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You're going straight to hell. And see, if you hear that message long enough and often enough, you'll come to your senses. You'll just come to your senses. Amen? You just come to your senses. I tell my story every opportunity I got about how I got saved. I accepted Jesus. No, I won't say that. I said the words about salvation in the church in San Diego in the midst of 2,000 or 3,000 or maybe 4,000 people. That was a miracle in itself. You know, never decided to get saved, just found myself at the altar. And I know it was God, because I think God said, let me get this fool up here, because he ain't going to never come to his senses. And so I did that, but I went off to the island of Guam as an assignment, and my life just went crazy. It went crazy, just fell all to pieces, all to pieces, all to pieces. You know, even though I had said the words, even though I was going to church every Sunday on the island of Guam, my life hadn't changed. My lifestyle hadn't changed. Hadn't changed at all. I told you before, you know, I went to church every Sunday, but every Sunday night I was drunk. Me and everybody else in the church. I'm telling you reality, folks. Amen. But one night on the island of Guam, after I had done some crazy stuff, you know, half drunk, I came to my senses. I said, Lord, this cannot go on like this. I know that if you don't, I told God, I said, God, I know that if you don't intervene and come in, then I'm going to lose it. And I was sincere. See, that's the key to this whole thing, is sincerity. And when I prayed that prayer, I didn't call it praying a prayer. I was just calling out, sitting in my car alongside the road, half drunk. But something came in that car that I can't explain today. It must be what Jesus meant when he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And that's not going to happen until you come to your senses. Amen? What woman wants a man to beat on her every other day? What? You know that's something wrong with that picture. It's the same thing. What person living on planet Earth want to live lives that's going to ultimately lead them to eternal death? You can't be in your right mind to want that. But you got to come to your senses. But when you do, you need to realize it's never too late. It's never too late. The problem is a lot of time we put it off. You don't know if you're going to have an accident tomorrow or not. And in this thing, I want to introduce you to these two men The first man is Saul, Israel's first king. See, Saul was God's first choice for Israel. And God intended for Saul and his sons to always, even his sons and his grandson, all his whole line, they intended them to follow him as king forever. That was the only family that God wanted to have in there. But Saul blew it. And I want to take you to 1 Samuel chapter 13. Let's look a little bit at the scripture this morning. I want to make sure that what we say to you comes from the word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 13, starting with verse 1. Now, just let me read these scriptures because it's going to be a blessing. I know you've read them before, but you need to read them again. He says, Saul reigned 1 year. And when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 of those men were with Saul in Mismatch and in Mount Bethel. And 1,000 of those 3,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. And the rest of the people Saul sent home. He just sent them home and said, I don't need you. We're good to go. We got 3,000 people. We're good to go. And look at verse 3. And Jonathan smote the garrisons of the Philistines that was in Geba. And the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. Verse 4. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel was also had an abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul. Otherwise, the people heard the trumpets. They heard Paul calling for help. And so they, they came. And verse 5 reads this way. Now, Saul had got 3,000 recruits to be in his army. But look at verse 5 here. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Saul and with Israel. Look at what they got together. 30,000 chariots. Well, if you got 30,000 chariots, you got at least 30,000 men on the chariots. A lot of times you have two people on there. And the Philistines had 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Mismatch eastward from Bethel. Stopping, taking the scenery here. Saul's got 3,000 men. The Philistines, hallelujah, got at least 36,000 on some sort of movable transportation. And then they had people walking. 3,000, 36,000. Hello? This was Saul's real first battle as a king, first major battle as a king. It says in verse 6, when the men of Israel, that includes Saul, when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people, now look at this thing. Don't miss this thing. All of a sudden, Saul blows the trumpet. Folks start coming around Saul, but then they found out who they was coming against. They were coming against the Philistines who had 30,000 chariots and 6,000 men on horses. Plus, they had a whole bunch of folks on the field. You know what happened to these people? They got scared. They got scared. The devil's working overtime trying to scare you to do something that God doesn't want you to do. The devil will come up to you and say, you know what? If you keep up this holy stuff, you ain't going to have no friends. He hadn't told that to you yet? You need to say, so be it. So be it. The devil will come up to you and tell you, say, listen, if you keep tithing, you ain't going to never have no money. You need to look at the devil and say, so be it. So be it. But look what happened in verse 6. He said the people came out, and it says, then the people did hide themselves and came. Now, what happened to you? You were coming towards Saul. Now you're going and running away. Everybody's scared. And then they say they hide themselves in the thickets, and they hid themselves in rocks, and they hid themselves in high places, and they hid themselves in pits, everywhere they can go. Listen, any place they could find to hide, they hid. Don't you know Saul was a scared somebody? Don't you know Saul was scared? He was scared. See, a lot of times the devil uses a lot of things to get us out of the will of God. But you need to stand flat-footed and say, no, I'm not going to do the wrong thing. Hello? You ever got to the point where you were down at your bottom with money and then an emergency come up? It seemed like all of a sudden the devil said, oh, there it is. They ain't got no money. Come on. They got an emergency. But come on. Now I can convince them to do this, even though they know that this is wrong. Because this thing, whatever it is, going to produce some money for them. You need to tell that devil flat-footed and say, no, I don't need that. Amen. If my God can't deliver me out of this, hallelujah, then I won't get out of it. You need to tell them that. You need to tell them that. But some of you have not told them that, and you have yielded to what the devil told you to do. Come on. And now the devil is telling you it's too late to get into God's will. It's too late to get set up. It's too late to get saved, to get baptized. It's too late. It's too late to be discipled. It's too late to be assigned an assignment by God. You need to look that devil in the face and say, you're a lying wonder. That's right. The Bible says it's never too late. Yes. Never, ever too late. Never. Don't you get tricked by the devil. You can't live in two different worlds. You can't. And anytime the devil gives you anything, he's going to get something back in return. And most of the time, it's coming from you. Devil ain't interested in you having fun. Verse 8. And Saul tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel, listen at this. Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from Saul. Now here's the scenario. The priest who had the authority to offer sacrifice to God told him, I'll be back by such and such date. But he didn't show up by that date. And Saul was scared. The people were running and the Philistines were in great numbers. He was scared. And in verse 9 it says this. Don't you ever let fear get you to get out of the will of God. Stand flat-footed. Your God's bigger than that. He's much, 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 much bigger than that. Much bigger than that. The devil will tell you he'll have your children. He said, look, I'm going to get that one. I'm going to get that. You need to look him in the eye and say, no, you're not. No, you're not. Verse 9. And Saul said, bring me here a burnt offering to me and a peace offering. Now, look, this is the sad part, it says. And he offered the burnt offering, knowing good and well he didn't have authority to do that. Knowing that the priest was the only one authorized to do that. He did, but he did it because he was scared. A lot of times as confessing Christians, we do things not necessarily because we're scared, but because we want something else. Get out of your head. Get out of your head. When you ask Jesus Christ to become the Lord of your life, you put him in control. You did it. It's not what you think is right or wrong. It's not what you think is good or bad. It's what God is saying. Hello? It's what God is saying. The Bible said he offered burnt offering, knowing it was wrong, knowing. But he thought, something in his mind said, you can do this. A priest is just another man. You could do this. And he went on and did it. Verse 10, and it came to pass. Everybody say it came to pass. Now here's a lesson you need to understand, really. It came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. He showed up. The right guy showed up. The guy that had authority to burn the offering, he showed up. He showed up. And he could have done his job and created a lot of catastrophe from happening. And it says, and Paul went out to meet him that he might salute him. Oh, Paul. Paul. But look at what happened. We got to read this whole scripture, folks. In verse 11, and Samuel, the priest said, listen what the priest told him. What have you done? Soon as he saw the altar, the burnt offering, he knew that nobody there was qualified to do that. So he said, what have you done, Saul? And Saul said, now here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Well, Lord, my rent was due. Come on. Didn't I tell you not to go around here fornicating with those men or with those women? Didn't I tell you to do that? Oh, Lord, but my rent was due. Oh, Lord, but I needed some medicine. Oh, Lord, but. 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 Some of you say, what have you done? And Saul says, because. Everybody say because. Because. See, that's the devil's favorite word, because. See, in your mind, you got a right reason for doing it. He said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you didn't come within the days appointed and that the Philistines had gathered themselves together at mismatch. I saw this, so I figured something had to be done. He says in verse 12, therefore, I say it. And that's what we do all the time. We get out of God's will. And then the devil tells us, because we get out of will, oh, God will never use you now. It's too late. And I want you to know this morning that it's never too late to get in the will of God. As long as you're breathing. Amen? As long as you're breathing. Paul says in verse 12, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon us, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. Therefore I force myself. Therefore, I forced myself, just like that lady, you know. That lady didn't have a husband, whatever, you know. And God has told about fornication. She said, listen, she said, I waited 3 or 4 days and I didn't have no money, Lord. Therefore, I forced myself to sleep with that man. Come on now. Come on now. Where's your trust in God? Saul said, I forced myself, therefore, and I offered a burnt offering. Hallelujah. He said, I forced myself. You see, Saul had the spirit of compromise. And that's where a lot of confessing Christians, that's where they're sitting at. They have that spirit of compromise within them. And when God exposed Saul's compromise, Saul never repented. He never repented. And he just started making excuses. Well, Lord, because, and Lord, because, and Lord, because. See, repentance and turning around and going the right way will work wonders with God. All you got to do is just say, I'm sorry, I blew it. I know my flesh is weak. I know it. But with your help, with your help. Now, listen, don't get me wrong here now. We're talking about the fact that it's never too late to get into the will of God. But if you've blown it, listen, you've gotten outside the will of God. Listen to me now. One of the things you need to understand is that there's other people that you've been gathering yourself around or around you that do not walk in the ways of the Lord. You need to remove yourself from those people. Because no matter how much you say you surrender to doing right before God, that whole atmosphere will keep you doing the exact same thing. And the devil, listen, when you start running out of bad friends, the devil will send some more. Hello? He will send some more. He will send some more. When God saved me, come on, when God saved me back in 1980, listen, I didn't go in the bars. Talking about I'm going to save everybody in the bar. I just didn't go in no bars. I didn't go in the bars. Because I knew in my mind as a young Christian, if the booze didn't get me, the women will. I knew that. So I didn't go until I became stronger. But now, look, I can go anywhere now. They'd probably throw me out the bar because I'd be trying to evangelize everybody. But back then I couldn't. So if you're in that situation where your close associates are not walking with God and proud of it, you need to find you some new associates. Hello? Tell those folks you ain't never home. So I ain't never here. Hallelujah. Never. So that God can walk with you. The devil's something else, I'm telling you, folks. And if you have that compromise in you, see, some people just have that, they say they love the Lord, but they'll compromise in a minute because of their weak flesh or because of what they want really internally. And if you have compromise in you, then you will compromise under the right circumstance. You will do it. You will do it. You will do it. It's just the way it is. In verse 13, last verse. And Samuel said to Saul, Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandments of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now would the Lord have established your kingdom upon Israel forever. He said, listen, you've blown it. You've blown it. You and your family would have been on the throne forever. Forever. But you've blown it. And how did he blow it? Did he blow it? Listen, did he blow it by offering sacrifice when he didn't have authority? That's not how he blew it. He blew it, listen, he blew it because he would not repent. He just made excuses as to why he did it. But he never told God, I'm sorry. He never asked God to forgive him. He never turned away from that thing and made up his mind that he was not going to compromise again. Instead, he just made excuses. Like that lady said, well, you don't know what it's like being hungry. I ain't got no food. I got to do this. I got to do what I got to do. No, you don't have to do what you got to do. You can trust God. Amen? Hallelujah. Samuel spoke this thing to Saul 8 years before David was born, King David. 8 years. 8 years. God prophesied 8 years before he was born that Saul wasn't going to be on the throne anymore. And God knew 8 years before David was born. Oh, you ought to get this. 8 years before he was born that he was going to be king. Now let that sink in for a second. For a second. See, in our little puny minds, we don't understand that. How could you know 8 years before somebody going to be born what they're going to do? You can't know unless God reveals it to you. 8 years. 8 years. Hallelujah. Because Saul did not repent and ask for forgiveness, he and his son never got back in the will of God. You know the story. They all got killed. God doesn't play games. And he never, never, never makes mistakes. It's not too late for you, brothers and sisters. It's not. It's not. I told you those three phases that the church is supposed to go through, you know? Being a witness, then get discipled, hallelujah, and then being employed. Do something with your hands for God. Do something. Make sure that you're on that right path. David wasn't God's first choice. He's the second guy I'm going to talk about today, very briefly. He wasn't. Saul, as I said before, was God's first choice, but he blew it by not repenting or asking for forgiveness. Is there something you need to repent for? Is there something you need to ask for forgiveness for? You're holding up your God's plan for your life. You're holding it up. You're holding it up. You're just holding up. Nothing happened in my life until I realized that I was going down the wrong path and asking God to come into my life and basically asking him to forgive me for all my sins and my foolishness. Nothing happens. I just kept on the same path, the same road, same way. Hallelujah. Just like Saul, God's will for David was for him to be successful as a king. And then for his son and his son and his son and his son to be king. Same, exact same way. But unlike Saul, David's son did replace him as king, even though David got out of God's will. I'm not saying that you should walk perfectly before the Lord, but you sure should try. Amen. You sure should do, and God will help you. But you can get so far out from God that the devil will keep telling you, you're never going to get back in the will of God. You're never going to do anything for God. You're never going to be anything. You're not. But I want to let you know this morning that it's never, ever too late. Let's take a look, a quick look, at why David's son wind up, come on, replacing him as king. And Saul's son did not, even though David did some terrible things. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. Now, I've got to share these scriptures with you because you got to see the big picture of this thing. And it came to pass that after the year was expired, this is David history here, at a time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servant with him and all of Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. Now, this last part is very important. But David tarried still. He stayed at Jerusalem. He didn't go out to fight. Why? Because he had already proved that he was a successful warrior. He'd already proved that he was somebody. He'd already won the respect of all the people in his environment. He was living a successful life. I want to tell you today that the greatest temptation that you will ever face in your life is when you have reached what you think is success. What David should have did is just kept doing what God has put him in the place to do. Going out there and fight with those men. Lead the troops. Lead the troops. But he stayed home and he got in trouble. See, you are the most vulnerable, or you are most vulnerable when everything is going great in your life. That's when the devil sneaks up on you. You know, when the bills are being paid and you got plenty of everything, your children are acting all right, that's when you're the most vulnerable. But that's the period of time when you need to stay on the path that God has set you on. Don't move. Don't deviate. Don't try to fix the problem yourself. You and I don't know enough. We don't know enough. You've got to depend on God. Hallelujah. Let me take you to 2 Samuel, same chapter, verse 2. It tells you what happened by him staying home. It says, and it came to pass at nighttime that David arose from off his bed. It was evening time. And he walked up on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself. Now, they didn't bathe in bathing suits. Hallelujah. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. You see, if David had been doing what he was supposed to be doing, he would not have gotten into trouble. If you and I had just gotten busy doing the work and the will and the way of God, listen, then the devil can't come in there and sneak on us. Hallelujah, no way. This actually shows that even a man that's after God's heart can get out of God's will. You can get out of God's will. I can get out of God's will. That's why we have to be careful. I'm not saying that you will get out of God's will or that I will get out of God's will, but it's possible. If you let the flesh lead you, if you start thinking, well, I'll do this, I'll do that, you need to get on your knees and ask God what to do. It amazes me the number of Christians that run into problems and they go around looking for all kinds of counseling, all kinds of whatever, and the counseling is okay. But the first thing we need to do whenever we face a challenge is get on our knees and say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You say, well, preacher, I don't hear God. Stay on your knees long enough. Besides, you're not getting up till you hear God tell you something. Amen? Because it's not a fact that God is not saying something to you. It's just that you got so much noise going on, hallelujah, within you, you can't hear him. So just stay on your knees. Hallelujah. Anybody can get out of God's will. We don't do it deliberately. But if you do, you need to repent and ask for forgiveness. That's all. Just repent and ask for forgiveness. Verse 27, same chapter. And we're skipping a lot of stuff, but I'm giving you the meat of the thing. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house. And she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Now, you know all those verses that I didn't read, right? You understand that what happened in this thing is that David had her husband killed. He had her husband killed. Listen, he tried to trick the man into coming home and sleeping with his own wife, come on, to make him think that her pregnancy was his. But the man didn't even go home and sleep with his wife. He wouldn't do that. He had honor. And when he went back to the war, David sent a message to his top man and said, look, make sure he get killed out here. Now, tell me how low that is. That's a low-down, dirty dog. Amen? That's the king. That's your buddy. That's the guy you're fighting for. And he's going to make sure you get killed. Listen, not because you have done wrong, but because he wants your wife. He wants your wife. Hallelujah. And God called a man after his own heart. The Bible tells us that God used the prophet Nathan to expose David's sin. And you know what David did? David repented. I say that again. David repented, and he did something else. He asked for forgiveness. That's such a simple thing. But if you get off track, I don't care how long it's been. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been off track. All you got to do sincerely, and I'm not talking about just voicing the words and not meaning it, sincerely from your heart, just repent. Repent means to just realize your fault and turn around and do something else. Go the right way and ask for forgiveness. Saul just came up with excuses. Well, everybody was scared and everybody ran away from me, so I figured I had to do something, so I did this. David repented and asked for forgiveness. And as a result, now listen to this. Now, I don't want you to miss this either. As a result, David's season of disorder was that his son died, the son that he had with Bathsheba, the son that he had with this other man's wife. The son died. You say, well, what a terrible price to have to pay. But I say you that over and over again. With every act of disobedience, there's what? Season of disorder. There's going to be a season of disorder. That's just the way it works. I don't care how good you've been. I don't care how great of a church member you've been. I don't care what kind of title you got. I don't care how long you've had that title. For every act of disobedience, there's going to be a season of disorder. You say, well, David's the king. Surely God wouldn't whip him. I'm afraid that applies to everybody. He had to pay a price. And he paid the most dearest thing to him in Bathsheba. Hallelujah. Killed the woman's husband. Hallelujah. Stole the man's wife. Ha. But he repented. Sincerely. Now that's a key word. He repented and asked for forgiveness. It's never too late, brothers and sisters. He repented and asked for forgiveness. And then Solomon, his son, became king. Hallelujah. So the thing that God wanted on the end was for that kingship to keep going, and it did. Why? Why? Because God ignored David's act of murder? Why? Because God ignored David stealing somebody's wife? No, but because David repented and asked for forgiveness. We need to understand, listen, he knew David way before he was born, and he had a plan for him. He knew us. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Amen? 8 years before he was born, David wasn't in nobody's womb. Hello? God has a plan for you. He has a supernatural plan for you. But if you've gotten outside of his will and you won't repent and ask for forgiveness, that plan won't never come about. Or maybe you've just been so afraid that you think you're going to fail. Come on. If God is for you, who can be against you? That's the word of God. It's time for all of us to realize that it's never too late. It's never too late. Some of you sitting out here right now in your 50s and your 60s, you know? And God has placed a plan in your heart. Maybe you're supposed to be missionaries. Maybe you're supposed to be pastors. Maybe you're supposed to be whatever God wants you to do. Maybe you're supposed to be a Christian businessman. I don't know. And you're saying, well, I'm 50 years old. I'm 60 years old. You know? I told you before, the angels are saying, so what? You're not going to do the work anyway. God's going to be behind you making sure it gets done. Verse 24. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son, and she called his name Solomon. Hallelujah. And verse 25 ends this way. He says, and he sent by the hand of Nathan, God sent Nathan, the prophet, and God called his name Jedidiah, loved of God, talking about Solomon, loved of God because of the Lord. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, you cannot blow it as bad as David blew it. I don't believe there's a person in here thinking about killing somebody's spouse so that they can have that person. I just don't think so. I really choose to believe that there's nobody in here that even wants somebody else's spouse. Amen? I mean, to go to the point of killing somebody, then that's pretty low. That's pretty low. You can't blow it as bad as David did, but David still got the reward of having his son become the king. Why? Because he repented and he asked for forgiveness. You can't just keep on doing the same thing over and over and over, saying, well, you know, God knows I got a problem. Well, you better get rid of that problem. And God will help you. That's what the devil don't want you to know. All you got to do is be sincere and say, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. Had I not called out to God in 1980 on the side of the road in that car, I may not even been here today. But I was sincere. I was sincere. I didn't know half of what I know today about God. I didn't know very little at all. But I know I was sincere. And if you're sitting here wrestling with any kind of issues that you think will keep you from the will of God and listening to the devil's lies that's saying it's too late, you need to call out to God and repent and say, God, forgive me for my foolishness. And then repent, which means turn around from that thing. You know, turn around from it. Seal yourself up. Ask God to protect you from that thing. Sometimes we put ourselves in a position. Like I told you a few minutes ago, I had sense enough to realize when I first got saved, I can't just run in no bars. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do it. I didn't have a desire to do it, but I knew I couldn't do it. I knew if some friend of mine had came up to me and said, come on, Dan, let me just come on over here with me, and I'm going to just get a drink, even if you don't want a drink. I couldn't go in there. I couldn't. The devil would have worked me up so badly. Before you know it, I'll be saying, okay, give me one. Just give me one. Just give me one. Just give me one. I could have ignored every woman in the place, but the devil will have that one Delilah. Say, you know, Dan can't resist this one. So I know I had to remove myself from that. And some of you that's sitting here right now, if you're doing anything outside of God's will, keeping God's will from manifesting in your life, listen, you need to be willing to let God separate you from that. Because it's not too late. Stop listening to the lies of the devil. You can't blow it as bad as David did. Look how God worked things out for David after he repented and turned to God. Look at it. You may have messed up and got out of the will of God. Just repent. Humble yourself and start seeking the will of God. Normally, you will find it if you do or just do the right thing. You'll find the will of God. God is so powerful. Hallelujah. God is so powerful. See, we say that, and you say, well, the preacher's supposed to say that. But I'm telling you from experience, God is so powerful. When I finally surrendered and told God, yeah, I'll go to a hospital. Listen, I didn't have a dime to my name. But a door had been opened for me to rent a house. And I said, God, I can't even pay a first month rent on this house. You're telling me to go to the hospital. He said, go to this man, a man that I had known maybe a couple of weeks. He didn't know nothing about me. He said, go to that man. Tell that man you need $500. And I went to the man. I told the man, look, I got to go to the hospital. I don't know why, but God wants me to go there, and I need to borrow $500. That man didn't know me from nobody. He said, well, you come back tomorrow. I'll have the money for you. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, listen, God can do the impossible, even if you and I can't. It's never too late. It's never, ever too late. Don't start dwelling on a what if. What if I hear God and then this happens? Don't go there. Regardless of where you are today, God still has a plan for your life. He hasn't given up on you. Maybe you've given up on him. But he hasn't given up on you or his plan. God is just as good. Let me tell you something. He's just as good as any GPS. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, he knows how to get you there. All right, come on. From where you are. All he's looking for is a willing heart. All he's looking for is somebody to just surrender to him and say, I will. I will. God can clean up any bad habits you got if you're willing to repent and ask for forgiveness. Don't be like Saul and come up with all these excuses. All these crazy excuses. Hallelujah. Talking to a friend of mine, he was telling me about God has blessed him, and he's telling me about he's spending all this crazy money every month on smoking weed and confessing to be a Christian. And I said, and the money running so quickly out of his hands because he's smoking weeds. You know, he and his spouse smoking weeds all the time. And then I said, why don't you just ask God to take this? He said, well, the doctor said I need it for medicinal purposes. You got excuse. You got excuse. Knowing what it's doing to him, knowing what it's doing to his family, knowing what it's doing to his future, knowing what it's doing to his walk with the Lord. But he hung on to that excuse. He might have told the doctor to prescribe it. I don't know. Crazy. It's never too late. Don't you walk out of this door here today thinking it's too late for you, because it's never too late. God uses every rotten thing that has happened to you for his glory and for the benefit of other people. Hallelujah. 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 God used every rotten thing I've done in my life just so that you could have some examples, amen, of what not to do. God is a good God. God, hallelujah. He's a good God. I'm so thankful for what he's delivered me from that I'm willing to tell anybody willing to sit down and listen, because I understand the power of God. Hallelujah. God is like a chess master. He will use every move that you make to his advantage. God ain't worried about what you did or what you are doing. He's just looking for a heart that'll repent and ask for forgiveness. And then he got the rest. Remember that scripture out of 2 Chronicles 7:14 that we've rehearsed in the past? It says this, and we close with this. If my people, talking about me and you, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, that's talking about repentance, and turn from their wicked ways. Well, God, I don't mind coming, but I can't stop doing this. You know, this thing got me. Come on. God is saying, let me got you. Let me get you. Amen. And turn from their wicked ways. And then there's a then. If you do that thing, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will forgive their sins. And I will heal their problems. Whatever it is, I will do it. It's never too late. That's the message today. It's never too late. Everybody in the sound of my voice here has been saved long enough now. You need to have heard God's voice. You need to have heard what he said for you to do next. You need to know where you're supposed to be. You need to know what you're supposed to be doing. Hallelujah. Or you need to be asking God, what's your part in this day? If you've done anything wrong, you just simply need to repent and ask for forgiveness. That's all. Because it's never too late. Don't listen to the devil lies saying you've been out there too long. Hallelujah. Don't listen to that. It's never too late. Never too late. Never too late. Never, never, never too late to save you and turn you around and to make your life different. Different. Some of you sitting out there saying, well, you know, everybody know my problems. Everybody know what I'm going through. Everybody know what I'm doing. Everybody know that I'm doing this or I'm doing that. That's not right. Don't worry about that. Amen. Just worry about your relationship with God. Amen. That's all. That's all. If God don't want you to minister to the people that's around you, he'll move you away and let you move to a new crowd. You think the people I was running with before I got saved would sit where you're sitting at and listen to me? Ain't no way in the world. Because they say, no, boy, I've seen you drunk. I've seen you chasing. I've seen you gambling. I ain't listening to you. Amen? So God had to send me to a big city called Ahoskie. Hallelujah. Amen? Well, nobody knew my past until I tell it to you. Amen? But God is a good God. It's never, ever, ever too late. Never. 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 Too late. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we stand all over the building this morning? Hallelujah. 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 I know most of the faces that's in here. If anybody in here don't know the Lord, please remain after service. Please. I want to pray with you and just lay hands on you this morning. But God has spoken to all of us this morning. And he tells us several things. He said, first of all, I have a plan for your life. Before you